Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
You're listening to The Voice, the Summit Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk? Let's go!
You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
This is 8R Bass. Keep it locked right here on TPV Radio.
An award-nominated radio station is back with an all-star just for you. Starting with the Psalmist Voice Reloaded on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Then the Psalmist Voice Presents by booking only. Tuesdays, it's the Grub at 1 p.m. Followed by Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Segal at 4:30. Followed by Dorothy Patterson, the Reality Coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, Music of the Spirit with Trey Milner at 4:30 p.m. And Saturdays is our double hitter, and it starts with Saturday Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown with Roberta Jones at 11 a.m. Central, followed by Brother Don Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m. Also download Live 365 and search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. And you're in there. You can also follow us on Facebook at TPV Radio or visit our website, www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
At Javina Distributing, we got your covering for your winter and summer needs. One size fits all. To order yours today, please message them on Facebook at Javina Distributing or call 616-929-2991 or 517-489-6923. Or you can order from the website www.allsportsheadgear.com and type in promo code Siron2020 to receive 20% off your purchase. Let's get it. Let's go.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Segal right now on TPV Radio.
You can see my fruit, bearing fruit is for the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallujah, hallujah. Get that word.
It's your cousin, your brother, your nephew, a real talk. Pastor Byron, say go.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Get that word and watch that word open up and flow right through you.
Dancing in his freedom, what? You can see it's evident. I'll cut a rug like David, I ain't playing, boys. I'm heaven sent. I'm heaven stepping with a new weapon. The Messiah telling me to go, Kevin. Taking me to.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, everybody? Hey, it is your brother, your cousin, your nephew. Hey, it's Pastor Byron Segal with Real Talk. And hey, I welcome everybody that's watching us on tonight or just catching this a little bit later. We're here with another episode on Real Talk. This is the last show for 2020. And look, here in a couple of hours, We'll be at 2021. So this is the last show of 2020. And hey, I appreciate everybody that's been riding with us and been showing love to Real Talk throughout this last year. And look, hey, this year has been a crazy year. We all know that. This year has been just been straight crazy with everything that's going on. It seemed like every time we look around, something was happening. This was happening. That was happening. This was happening. So 2020 has been a rough year for everybody. But hey, we're still here. Hey, we are still surviving, and we just need to go into this next year, 2021. Here in a couple of hours, we go in with a fresh outlook, with a new fresh look on life, and take 2021 by the rails, by the horns, and ride out with Christ. So that's what it's about coming up this next year. So if I don't see it, and I won't holler at you later on tonight. Hey, I want to wish you a happy new year and a prosperous new year, and that God continues to bless you in this new year coming. And if y'all will ride with us a little bit on tomorrow, we will have our regular Friday night service. So join Light of Hope Fellowship Ministry on tomorrow at 7:30. We'll have our normal Friday night service. So my prayer is that, hey, if you got plans on doing your thing on tonight here on New Year's Eve, hey, do it safely. All right. It's already been told that, hey, we need to stay inside. We don't need to go out because this thing we got going on is still around. So I encourage you to stay in the house. I encourage you to stay all tucked in your house and just be safe. And and don't go out and possibly get yourself sick or get somebody else sick. All right. So, hey, with that being said, you already know what we do here at TPV Radio Network. Hey, we don't talk politics here on Real Talk, but hey, we'll tell you the truth, and we're going to give you everything within biblical context so you can understand. And here on Real Talk, we're going to talk real. Hey, so if you want to talk, our motto here, Real Talk, if you want to talk, then let's talk. And we gonna get it in. So before I get started on tonight's subject, I want to send a quick, real big shout out, hey, to my wife, Lady Latanya Sago, First Lady Latanya Sago. A big shout out to her, my children, everybody that's riding with Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, Blessings on the Block Community Outreach, everybody that's down with us, and hey, a real big shout out to TPV Radio Network, Pastor Chris Newton, Lady Shanice Newton, all of the TPV Radio family. Hey, I salute all y'all. I appreciate everything that all of y'all are doing, because God is doing a great thing in everybody's life here on this platform that God has given TPV Radio Network. So definitely big shout out to them and all the TPV Radio Network family. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, hey, if you don't hold on, you're going to miss something, because I guarantee you TPB Radio has a lot that's going on this year. They're bringing a lot of good stuff to you this year. So, hey, you want to hold on for the ride with TPB Radio Network, because they have a lot going on. And if you don't ride, if you don't hold on, you're going to miss something. So, look, hey, while you're here, hey, I want you to come on in. I want you to go to www.tpvradionetwork.com, and you can log in and you can hear the show. But if you're on live and you want to talk about this subject we're going to get into on tonight, drop your comment, drop your question, and we'll put it out there, and we'll discuss it. Now, this subject on tonight, all right, it's a subject that people, a lot of people don't like talking about, because it's kind of touchy, and people don't like to discuss it, because in the end it kind of seems like to start arguments and things like that, or let me say not arguments, but it tends to cause disagreements. Hey, what's going on, Overseer Calvin, Steve? What's going on, brother? How you doing? It tend to cause a little confusion in people's minds. So on tonight's subject is, we're going to talk about should pastors receive a salary. should pastors receive a salary? Now, I know everybody has their beliefs and their thoughts, and they go to God's word, and I got that, and it is in God's word where you see these things about being able to provide for that man or woman of God that's doing the work of God, that's doing the ministry of God. But my question is that what's going on, Pastor Smallwood? How you doing, sir? My question is, so if this pastor, him or her, if they are given a salary, does it go from being a calling to a job? Do you do the work that you do, that pastor, him or her, do they do their work that they do because they are expecting or they need that paycheck? Or are they doing what they do because they're really doing it unto God? That's a question. Now, I know everybody has their outlook. And we can look at 1 Corinthians 9, 13 through 18. We can look at 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18, and it's in the Bible. And I won't talk about those. And at your leisure, you go and you read those, and it can tell you some things. But we have to look at what's the heart of the pastor. I understand that what the Bible says. The Bible says do those things, but what's the heart of that pastor? Is that pastor really rooted and grounded with God, or is that pastor looking at what they're doing as just a job? Is it just a job? Is it where you go and you punch a clock? Okay, you punch a clock. You do what you're told to do. Okay, you give the people a message. Okay, and then you go home. You punch in and you punch out. You punch in and you punch out. At what point, all right? At what point do we know if it's just a job? Okay. And great question. Great comment. And I'll read this comment. Overseer Calvin Snead says, "Just because you get paid for work doesn't mean that it's solely for the pay, but the heart shows in the work. The salary is appreciation." Absolutely. It shows in the work. It's absolutely right. So how effective? Now here's another question. So listen to me, y'all. So if him or her they're receiving a salary for pay, because of what they do, because they're full time. They're not. I'm talking about full time pastors. I'm not talking about the bivocational pastors. All right. And we know the bivocational pastors are those pastors who work a regular job, and they also pastor a church as well. Those are the bivocational pastors. I want you to understand that. I'm talking about the full time pastors. Those ones that work for a salary. So what happens? Listen to me. If that person's heart is not really into it, if that person's heart is not truly into doing what God is calling them to do, even though they say God is calling them to do, what if that pastor's salary is cut in half? Okay? Well, if that pastor's salary is cut in half, is that pastor going to still be as effective as they were when they were getting that higher salary? And are they still going to be the same way? Are they still going to be as effective when that salary has been cut in half? I'll wait. But see, that's the point. If that salary is cut in half, now how effective is that pastor going to be for God's people? And we're talking about for God's people. We're not talking about for the pastor. We're talking about for God's people. How effective is that pastor going to be for God's people if the people who brought him or her on say, hey, pastor, we got to cut your salary. All right? You were getting $3,500 a month, so we have to cut your salary in half, which means now we can only give you $1,500 a month. So what's that pastor going to do? Now, I'm talking about the ones that are doing it because of wages and things like that. Now, those ones who are doing it because it's a true calling, it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them. Those ones that are doing it for a true calling might even say, hey, if it's for the benefit of the body, then you just take it all and you don't give me anything. But those ones that have been receiving it for because that's their salary, that's what they need, then how effective are they going to be for God's people if that salary is cut in half? Now, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're talking about, now, there are ones that cannot work. I got that. If you cannot work, and you are a full-time pastor, and you just cannot work because of medical reasons or whatever the case might be, you cannot work, then the hope and the expectation is that the people will see the work that you put in and say, hey, pastor can't work. Pastor has a wife or a husband. He or she, they have a house. They have children. So they can't work because of whatever reason. But they can pastor. They can do what they can do for God. But they can't physically go out and work. So how about we help this pastor, because this pastor has to live. This pastor has to have food on the table. The pastor has to pay their bills. They need money to survive. We got that. Now, if that pastor can't work, I understand that. Now, if that pastor can work, and that pastor is not really a full-time pastor, especially now, we can't really say that we have full-time pastors, those ones that they go into the office at 9 and then they leave the office at 4 and they're there in the office. Maybe in their they may have appointments. They may be talking to members, whatever the case they might be. Okay? Now, everybody, again, has their different outlooks on this. And I'm not saying any outlook is right or wrong. I'm not saying any outlook is right or wrong. I'm not saying that anybody's belief on if a pastor should get paid or not. But there are a lot of people out there that truly believe that pastors shouldn't get paid for the work that they do, especially if they can work. Now, you have pastors out there that are used to a lavish lifestyle. All right, they're used to a lavish lifestyle. They got this car and they're living in a huge house. They're living in this big house, okay? And they're living off these things. Some, not all, are possibly living off these things from the salary that they get from the church. Now, I'm sure the church has this budgeted in. I'm quite sure that the church has this in their budget. Which if they should, okay? All right? Now, you have this pastor that's driving a nice car, that's living in a nice home, who's receiving a salary, okay? But at the same time, you look at it, and they have people of God that are in that house, that are in that body, all right, that are living in squalor, okay? The ones that are living below the poverty level, that are struggling to make ends meet, that are just struggling to make it from one day to the next. But the pastor is living a great life, and the pastor sees that. Okay, the pastor sees that he has five or six people that are living under the poverty level. We have five or six people that have four or five children, and they're out of work, especially now, or they don't have a job, especially now, or they've been laid off, especially now. Here's a question: what should that pastor do, or what does that pastor do during a time like this, where you see so many people out of work? You see thousands and thousands of people that are lined up to get food at food banks, especially here in Texas. You see so many people. So what should that pastor do? Should that pastor say, hey, look, take some of what I have, take some of what you've given me, or what you are giving me, and you give it to the people? Now, help me out. I may be wrong. Okay? I may be incorrect by saying that that's what a pastor would do. I can't speak for every pastor. Okay? I can speak for myself. All right? And fortunately, I've been fortunate enough to be able to have a pension, because I did over 24 years in the Army. I'm fortunate enough to be able to be able to do that. Okay, but everybody's not. Everybody's not. So Pastor, if you're getting $3,500 a month in a salary, and I guarantee you that's not even close to what some are getting. Okay, if you're getting $3,500 a month and you have a body full of people that you know are hurting, are living under the poverty level, what do you do? I think I need to hear that music while I'm waiting for this answer. Go ahead and play the music for me real quick. People need to understand. People got to understand. It's okay. It's good. And look, this is a tough and touchy subject, but we're talking real. This is a tough and touchy subject, but we're talking real. Okay? Now, listen to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. So I'm not talking about these pastors that have saved money, or have money, or they have other flows of income. Maybe they have a business, or maybe they've written books, or maybe they're doing other things where they have that income coming in. Okay, and then they don't have to worry about what the church is doing for them. You know, they may not worry about that, but there are those ones that rely on what the church is giving them, and I got that. But does it become a calling, or is it a job? Which one does it become? Because I tell you right now, some of us who have regular jobs, if you don't get paid, all right, if you don't get paid, and your job tells you, look, we can't pay you this week, or we can't pay you for this next month. You're like, well, if you ain't gonna pay me, then I ain't gonna work. Let's be real. In our regular normal jobs, we're gonna say, if you can't pay me, then I'm not gonna work. I'm not coming to work. Why am I going to work if you're not gonna pay me? So when we start giving pastors salaries, does it become a job, or is it still a calling? And here's what. Now, I'm going to tell you some true facts, and I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to say anything like that, okay? But here's some true facts, all right? Now, I know that in some denominations, okay, it depends on who interviews the pastor. Depending on what denomination you are, it might be the deacon board, it might be the board of trustees, it could be the board of directors, it could be any of those those numbers of things. It could be a panel of bishops, whatever the case might be, okay? So here's a true story. One denomination who chooses a pastor via their deacon board, right? So they have these. I understand. There's a process. Each different denomination has a process of where they select pastors. Okay. So they bring these four or five or six pastors in, and they sit before the deacon board, and they interview all these pastors, right? Okay. They interview all these pastors, and then they begin to negotiate how much that they're going to pay you. So within that negotiation process of those four or five pastors that interview for that particular pastoral job, okay, two of them said, oh, that's not enough money for me. Okay? Oh, that's not enough money. You're not paying me enough money to be able to come here and pastor. It has become to understanding to me that when you began to negotiate being a pastor, is God pleased with that? If you are a truly called pastor, okay, all right, and you're not worried about how much money is going to go in your pocket, okay, the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is not going to be, well, that's not enough money for me. That's not enough money for me to pastor this church. But see, now when you do that, now it becomes about a job. It's about punching the clock. It's about me getting this job. It's about me having this title. And what we have to understand now, if you are a founder of a church, if you are a founder of a church, all right, it doesn't matter if you get a salary or not. It should be. If they give you a salary and you are the founder, then that's just icing on the cake. But if you are a founder of a church, it should not matter.
Say what?
Because then nobody hired you. God hired you. God called you to plant that church. But when you have to, when you're coming into a place and people are hiring you, all right, you're on the contract. I don't care what people say that you're not on the contract. When you are hired by a church as a pastor, you are under a contract. You are under a contract. And if you don't do what they say that you need to do, or if you don't preach like they want you to preach, or if your preaching is slipping, then they're going to say, hey, we don't need your services anymore. Or if you falter or make one mistake and it seems to make that particular church look bad, they're going to have you doing a duffel bag drag, and then you're going to be out of there. Why? Because they have you in the contract. Why? Because they've hired you. You are at the mercy of those ones that hired you. And then the first thing they'll tell you is, look, you don't run nothing here. All you do is, all you are is a pastor. You don't run nothing here. So which means if they tell you that they're going to cut your salary and then you don't like it, they're going to tell you, well, either you take that or you leave and we'll find somebody else. It becomes a job when pastors begin to negotiate about salary. It becomes something that they do just because they're getting paid to do it. Now, I'm not saying every pastor is like that, okay? I'm not saying that, all right? I'm not saying that's all conclusive with every pastor, okay? There's some pastors that receive a salary, and then they have been called, and it's truly on their heart to do it. But who says that people can't go you can go on Indeed. Listen to me. You can go on Indeed, and you can see churches that are looking for pastors to hire. Not the ones that are called. They're looking for pastors to hire. So if you need a job, okay, and you're truly not called, you can go on Indeed. You can put your resume together. You can go on Indeed, and you can submit that resume to that particular church. okay? And you can go in there and you can and you can act like that you've been ready, that you've been called and things like that. You can act like that, okay? And then they hire you. But exactly what somebody said earlier is going to show in what you do. It's going to show in your walk. It's going to show in your talk, and it's going to show at how you deal with God's people. It's going to show in every facet of what you do. So how do we stop that? How do we stop the ones that's out there job hunting and the ones that's out there just worried about a salary? How do we stop that? I can't give you the correct answer to that, but we know that we serve a God that can put a stop to it. We know that. But again, the question on the table, ladies and gentlemen, is should pastors receive a salary? And how effective are the pastors if they do receive a salary? So look, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go on break. TPV Radio got to pay some bills. So we're going to listen to a song, and then I'll be right back with the last portion, the second portion of Real Talk. I'll see you in a little bit. One.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago right now on TPV Radio. Keep it locked right here on TPV Radio, the station for inspiration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sound the alarm.
Yeah, it's going down, y'all. Uh-huh. Yeah, your girl, Miss Lady Boo. Show you, John. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Represent a straight family, baby. Family. We keep it in the blood. Thick in the mud. I'm trying to tell y'all, you know what I'm saying? That's the biz. I got my boy, Mr. Dale, his whole crew. I got my brother, Lil E / B.A.Z. My homeboy, P.B. Memphis. P.B. Memphis. Creep Dan Stein. Don't forget about your boy, M. Child. You know what I'm saying? It's going down, baby. Crazy Lady Entertainment. I'm putting it down forever, y'all. It's going down independent. One.
Make a brother want to get up and fuck it full. Straight cut. We rock so dumb. Mr. Straight hit y'all. Now we ready. Miss Lady.
Now I'm ready. 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 Yeah.
Make a brother want to get up and fuck it full. Straight cut. We rock so dumb. Mr. Straight hit y'all. Now we ready. Now we ready.
Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready.
Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready.
Crowd with a frown, looking mean. Haters just a hate, trying to get up on my team. Baby, get up on me, have you looking kind of sloppy when I point aim. Boom. First I hit you with the beam. Girl, steady watching, trying to get up with my man. I don't care, have him, he ain't rolling with the plan. Plan to be a blessed young millionaire. When I finish rocking shows, get paid, don't you understand? You don't want to go to war with Lady Boo. Started as a fan, now you ride with my crew. Everybody knows you a wannabe, gonna end up broke. If you keep taking checks like you do. Hanging with my partner, trying to keep a level head. Riding in the BNC, feeling like a bed. I always pray to God, but it's hard not to want to hang. Coward suckers all up in my face. In a bed, walking around town acting like you beat us. Calling nigga phone saying that you wanna hit. Don't you feel stupid when he say, girl, please, you the cheese, man. No, I don't really wanna hit. Try to be like Lady, cause I flip the CEO. Write my own checks, till I close my own door. I ain't trying to take that crap no more. Plan to sell an artist, you'll never know. Riding in the lane, feeling good up in the shade. Move to ATL, cause I'm trying to get paid. Everybody saying, oh man, she's sold out. Pimp, never made self made to the grave. I'ma hit you, mama, where it really, really hurts. Listen to my old rap, throw my old verse. It's all good in the hood where I'm from. From BAG,
y'all
know that I had to
sell
first.
Ooh, yeah. Like a brother wanna get up and fuck, hit book, we crunch your nut. Mister, hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Make a brother wanna get up and fuck, hit book, we crunch your nut. Mister, hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
What a H-O-L-Y, and we still fly. But here's another one. I got a 902, another bus to claim he got a lot of life. Lauryn Hill, you just lost one time for your mind, body, spirit, don't forget your soul. Jesus blessed us, now we in control. Hitting on me, cause his silly style is old. But you can't blame Dale, cause I'm saving souls. I rock that MP, ride the track. Yeah, people, bro, I didn't know I had it like that. Like the farm was a gap when the style is flat. But D.O.D. on the hill, and he got it like that. In a B.A.Z., Tennessee, bucking for the Trinity, laughing at you haters, cause I hate it, cause they can't be free. Independent Christian living, never
never slipping. Prince of Memphis, King Jehovah, Alpha Omega, Maine. I hope your soul is listening. Kingdom coming, suckers running, cause they got it twisted from the beginning. When the trumpet sounds, I ride that thing like lightning. Listen, H-O-O-L-Y-O-U-T-H. Don't hate me, cause
like a brother wanna get up and forget book, recross, oh no, Mr. Hitchhiker,
what's the start?
It's on now,
we about to blow up.
Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Make a brother wanna get off and first get book up, we cross, oh no, Mr. Hitcher, rip us a star, it's so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
Uh-huh.
Wanna get off and first get book cut up, we cross, oh no, Mr. Hitcher, rip us a star, it's so now, 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 blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready, ready. Yeah, make a brother wanna get off and buzz, get buck, we crawl, no, Mr. Hitchhiker, it's on now, we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
Voila, huh?
This is Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destinyland Christian Center in Rancho Cucamonga, California, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sagal right now on TPV Radio.
And hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Hey, you already know, hey, this is Brother Cousin Nephews, Pastor Sago. We are in the second portion of Real Talk, and you just heard my man, Mr. Dale, re-ready. So we always playing the hottest music here, the hottest in gospel hip-hop, the hottest in gospel rap, whatever your flavor is, they got it here on TPV Radio Network. So they were definitely singing some great records. So, hey. We're back, and hey, we got a couple folks that came on. Hey, I want to shout out Miss Deidre Neely there. I want to shout out my cousin-in-law, I guess you want to say, Jerica D. Scott. Hey, what's going on, Jerica? How you doing? And everybody that's on with us here tonight, Real Talk. But hey, tonight we are talking about should pastors receive a salary? Now, if you missed the first portion of this talk, we were talking about, we're trying to come up to the root cause, the crux of trying to figure out that when pastors get a salary, does it become a calling for them, or does it become a job? Do they do what they do because they punch the clock because they have to, or they do it because God has called them to do it, truly called them to do it from the heart? So it's all about does it become a job? Is it a job, or is this truly a calling? And should they receive a salary? All right, should they receive a salary? All right. Now look, if y'all everybody is on, hey, drop your comment. Drop your comment. I'll read it on the air. Or if you want to call in, you can call in, and be sure that TPV will get you on. But hey, call in, drop your comment. I'll read your comment on here, and we'll talk about it. But it goes back to what I said. It goes back to exactly what I said earlier. Does it become a job, or is it still a calling? What happens, all right, when your pay drops? All right, what happens when your pay drops? All right, do the pastor stick there and say, hey, look, all right? So listen to this. Here's a good question for you. Here's a good question for you. So if a pastor's on a salary and their pay drops, now all of a sudden, if they were a full-time pastor, now do they become bivocational? Do they become bivocational now? Do they have to go out and find a job? Okay? They can't draw unemployment. Literally, they can't draw unemployment because technically you're getting a salary. So now, if a pastor's pay drops, do they become bivocational now? Which means They're dual occupational. They're usually shepherding a church of a smaller size or serving in an area with a depressed economy. So if their pay drops, just like everybody else's pay drops, does that pastor become bivocational? Okay, because I will tell you right now, y'all believe it or not, and I could be wrong, help me out. At this time, there's no difference between the big churches and the smaller churches. There's no difference now. You can't tell a difference now between a church that has 500 people or has 500 people to a church that has 5 people. Why? Because COVID has shut everything down. And look, I don't even talk about that. People hear about that enough on the news, and it's a daily occurrence. But now, there's no distinction. And God is making it clearly plain to us that I never meant for it to be a distinction. Just because a megachurch is big, everybody wants to run to that megachurch, because I'm going to tell you one reason why people want to go to that megachurch is because they can hide. They can hide amongst the numbers. See, you can't hide in a small church. You can't hide in a church with 20 people because the pastor going to know you. See, you can hide in a church with 20,000 people because the pastor ain't going to know you. The pastor won't know half the people that's in his or her church when you have 20,000 people. But if you got 20 people, the pastor going to know you. And the pastor, if that pastor knows you, that pastor going to put you to work. That pastor going to say, hey, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. If you got 20,000 people, you'll never be called on. And then you'll never know when you're missing, and you'll never know when you're not working for God. So now you have those pastors that have those 20,000, those 20,000 members, and those ones that had the 20 members. Okay, that one that had the 20 members has to be bivocational, because there is not enough being drawn in to even give that pastor salary. Now listen to me. Now hear what I'm saying. Okay, and I'm going to read this. All right, I'm going to read it. This is 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Here's what it says. I'm reading it from the Message version. It says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. All right? So, absolutely, Pastor Chris Newton said the professional pastor will have a big problem with this topic. Absolutely. Because there are those ones that are professional pastors, you know, the ones that when you say a professional pastor, they will those are the ones that are professional, and they have to have these certain types of degrees and things like that. Okay, they have these things. They're a professional pastor, and they do what they have to do in order to be a professional pastor to get these higher salaries. Okay. And absolutely, and I'm going to read this comment. Ms. Deidre Neely says, it's important to look at the church bylaws. Important to believe God will provide in the same time they have bills like we all do. If they have to make adjustments, I wouldn't hold it against them. Their responsibility is also to take care of their family. Absolutely. You are absolutely correct, Deidre. You are absolutely correct. And I'm going to tell you right now, you talk about church bylaws. Church bylaws are important. All right? Church bylaws is the backbone of the church, absolutely. If you look at Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, church bylaws, they are the nooks and crooks of the functioning of the church. And like she said, they have families as well. They have to take care of those things. And again, if you caught the first portion of this subject, I said absolutely. When they have families, when they have things that the people they have to take care of, and they are a full time pastor, they have to have a means to take care of their family. They have to have a means of filling their bellies. Absolutely. All right. And we're talking about full time pastors. We're not talking about bivocational pastors. Okay. Now what we have to understand now. All right. At this time right now, are there really, truly any full-time pastors? Okay? When I say full-time pastors, that means a full-time pastor Monday through Friday to include Saturdays and Sundays, or at least during the time that they're in the office. They're in that office. They have appointments. They're making appointments. They're talking to members. In between that time, they should be getting ready for to preach the word on Sundays, okay? And Sunday morning is not the right time to be preparing to preach your word, okay? I don't care what people might say, all right? Sunday morning before service is not the time for you to be preparing and seeking God's face, all right? We can say that the Holy Spirit might lead you. Well, the Holy Spirit should have led you, okay, at least 10 to 12 hours, okay, prior to that, all right? And again, this is not a right or wrong answer to this subject, okay? Everybody believes what they believe. Some people believe that a pastor shouldn't get a salary, and there are people that believe a pastor should get a salary, and that's okay, all right? We're not debating the facts. We're looking at the point that does it become a job, or again, is it still a calling? That's the question at hand. Because a job is something that you have to do. Okay? A job is something that you have to do. All right? I'll look at this. Let me make it plain. Okay? So my job for 24 years was to be in the Army. Okay? That's what paid. That's what fed my family. That's what fed my children. That's what everything that I did. That was my job. Okay? But in the end, I found out what my calling was. My calling was to teach and preach God's word. That was my calling. Okay? So again, the question is, just like I said before, if you're working at a job, and I said this in the first portion, if you're working at a job, all right, right now, and I'm not talking about military, because military, you're in a contract. If you're working at a job, okay, and you don't get paid, all right, you're not going to show up. You're going to say, well, then if they ain't paying me, I'm not coming to work. You can forget about that. That's a job. But if you have a calling, if your passion is into something, okay, and God has called you, okay, it doesn't matter. And again, the question is still on the floor that I said before, all right? What happens? How does that pastor react, okay, if his or her pay is cut, their salary is cut in half, because the church is not getting the offerings and the tithes that they usually get in, okay? What happens then? How does that pastor react? How does he react? How does he or she react if their pastor? If their salary gets cut. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And Pastor Chris, you say you will know them by their fruit. Absolutely. If they've truly been called, if their pay or their salary is cut, then they're still going to do what they have to do for God. They're still going to do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you what I saw. And again, this is not all conclusive. This is not across the board, what I'm about to say. All right? Every pastor is not going to have a problem with that. Some will. But I'm telling you from what I've seen, from my experiences, I've seen pastors that have had issues with that. All right? And absolutely, Ms. Neely, it would depend on the individual, and it's different. All right? This is not everybody. This doesn't include everybody. Some people are doing it for the right reasons. Some people are doing it because it's a calling, because it's been laid on their heart. God has called them to do a greater work. God has called them to do a great work. But some people do it because it is a job. I want everybody to understand that. Some people do it because it's a job. It's a way to get share that in their pocket, and to live the life that they want to live. And you'll see it by what they do. You'll see it by their actions. Okay? You'll see it by what they do, how they live, how they teach you, how they teach and how they preach God's word. You'll see it by how, by what they do, by their walk. You will see it. And I will tell you, and again, I'm telling you from what I've seen from experience. I'm not telling you this is not what I heard, and this is not what from any type of chat on Facebook. There I've seen pastors that have said out of their mouths, okay, no, I don't want to pastor because you're not paying me enough. That's not enough for me to pastor. Well, who says that's not enough? The enough is for you to go to stand up before God's people and save people's souls. That's enough. Now, I got it. If that's not enough, all right, then you go and you become bivocational. You go and find you a job. Now, if you're of age where you can't go find a job because you're older, I got that. Understand that. You got to figure something out. And if you can't work because of medical reasons, I understand that. And I said that before. There are some pastors, there are some people who can't work because of medical reasons. They can't lift, they can't move, they can't do certain things, and they can't work, or they can't work certain jobs. Maybe they have to become bivocational. Maybe that may not be enough. Maybe there is a calling on their heart, but maybe there won't be enough to sustain what they're doing. And I got that. Again, this thing is not there's no straight across the board answer for this. Everybody has their own outlook on this payment thing, this salary thing, and we have to look at it as that. And I respect everybody's opinion. I respect everybody's thoughts about it. Because everybody's not going to agree. Especially those pastors that get salary. Look, I'm the founder of Light Hope Fellowship Ministries, okay? I don't even expect a salary. For what? Why? I'm the founder. And then here's another question. Do those pastors that do receive their salary, now, their responsibility is to be just like everybody else. Their responsibility is to tithe. Their responsibility is to sow seeds. Their responsibility is to do everything else that they're asking everybody else to do at that amount. All right? They have to do it. They have to do everything that they're telling everybody else to do. Okay? To more of the utmost. Because the pastor should be the one that should be laying down the guidelines. The pastor should be the one that should be leading the way. Him or her should be leading the way in giving offerings and things like that. And again, it goes back to what I said before, that the pastor, he or she, has to do a heart check. Because if you're getting a salary and you're getting $4,500 a month, okay, and you're sitting and you're seeing someone living in squalor. Now look, I'm not saying that the pastor, anybody shouldn't be living in squalor. Okay? Just like Ms. Neely said earlier, the pastor has bills, the pastor has to live, the pastor has to eat. I got it. We all need to eat, because if we don't eat, then we die. But the Bible says that the man shouldn't live by bread alone. But that's something else. All right? But we still need to eat to survive. So if a pastor's getting $4,500 a month, okay, and he has members, people of God, God's people, they don't belong to him. That pastor just been given him or her. That pastor's been given the opportunity to shepherd God's people. And that pastor has four or five people living in squalor. Just living under the poverty level, like I said before. Okay? What's the right thing to do? I don't know. Depends on the individual. What's the right thing to do? Is the right thing for that pastor to say, you know what, cut my salary. All right, we need to help some people. Cut my salary. We have this neighborhood that we need to work on. cut my salary. We need to do some things. We need to do some things that are necessary in this neighborhood. I have a couple of comments. Deidre Lilly said, she says, I also think that the church has a huge responsibility to be physical responsibility and a strategic plan. Absolutely. Planning is very, very important. And also she said that physically responsible to have a strategic plan, teach members to give, and also to have a heart of compassion and compromise. That absolutely, a heart of compassion and compromise. Teach members to give and also have a heart to have a heart of compassion and compromise. Right, teaching to give. Now, one thing we have to know about teaching, and Ms. Neely, you know about this as well by Ben a drill sergeant like myself. We can sit there. You can teach. The words can come out of your mouth all the time, but you won't have to show. Pastors are going to have to show as well as teach. They're going to have to show, improve as well as teach, which means that pastor is going to have to give too. That pastor is going to have to give too. Now does anybody have to give? Does that pastor have to give in front of the people to let them know that he or she is giving? No, they don't have to do that, right? Because now you're just showing off. You don't have to show. But your heart has to be right, and you can't sit there. You can't, as a pastor, can't sit there and tell people that you need to give. You need to tithe, and y'all haven't been tithing, and y'all haven't been doing this, and y'all haven't been giving like you need to, when him or her themselves haven't been tithing and haven't been giving and haven't been putting seeds in themselves. So we have to, the pastors have to be able to show. The pastors have to be able to walk the walk. And like I was saying about being a drill sergeant, one thing that we had to do, we were able to stand up there and teach these new soldiers coming in about stuff. And they will look at you like you're not saying anything. But in order for them to understand it, we had to demonstrate it to them. We had to demonstrate it to them. So the pastor has to demonstrate to the people. The pastor can teach the people, but the pastor has to demonstrate. The pastor can teach and preach to the people about repentance, but the pastor has to be the one that has to understand that they have to repent too. Doing the same thing that they're telling the people to do. Now, those that may not know that when a pastor gets up and a pastor preaches a word, the first thing, that message has to resonate with that pastor first. It should resonate with that pastor first. It should twist and turn that pastor's heart first before they can stand up and say, I'm going to give this to the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, look, that's my time. I'm going to have to get out of here, but I appreciate everybody's comments on tonight. Everybody that's joining, Miss Deidre Neely, I appreciate you. Mom's on. Hey, I see your mom. Jay was on. Who else was on? Quick shout out. Who else was on? There's more people on. If I miss you, I apologize. But hey, I thank everybody for being with us on tonight. For Real Talk. Again, join us tomorrow at 7:30. We're going to have our Friday service on tonight, or well, on tomorrow night. Right? We're going to have our Friday service. And Happy New Year. Be safe on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If you can stay in, stay in. You ain't got to go out. All right? You don't have to go out. You have a good time. Stay in your house, being snuggled and warm and away from all this craziness that's going on out there. So, look, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you again. I salute you. This is your brother, your cousin, your one and only nephew, A. This is Pastor Byron Sago, Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, Lessons on the Block Community Outreach. Real Talk. I'll see you next week. One love.
And fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow, and don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be
TPV Radio, Central Texas.